Good morning. This is the scheduled Utah State Tax Commission. It is Thursday, October 22nd at approximately 9 o'clock in the morning. This hearing is being held in the Commission Hearing Room, room 1025, at the Tax Commission offices. Both participating are myself, Chairman John Valentine, Commissioner Michael Cragen, Commissioner Robert Pirro, Commissioner Rebecca Rockwell, and Barry Conover, the Executive Director of the Tax Commission. This is the time now set for public comment for individuals or groups wishing to address the Commission for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or recently imminent appeal to the Tax Commission. Is there anyone present in the audience today that would like to speak to the Commission? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and that is consider approval of our minutes of our Thursday, October 8th, 2005 meeting. Do I have a motion for those minutes?
I'll move that we approve the minutes.
Recognize Commissioner Cragen for that motion. See no debate on the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Rule of passes unanimously. The minutes are approved. Next item for consideration on our agenda today are considering amending administrative rules, and these will be action items. I'm going to turn the time over to Commissioner Rockwell, who oversees our rules process. Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. I'm going to introduce the proposed rule amendments for the Commission to consider adopting, and note that there have been no public comments on any of these rules. There are six rules that we will be reviewing today. These rules were published in the Utah Bulletin on September 15, 2015, and the public comment period ended on October 15, 2015. The first rule we will discuss is R865-13G18, definition of statewide average rack price of a gallon of motor fuel. The proposed rule defines a term necessary for the implementation of 2015 House Bill 362. This bill provides that the tax on motor and special fuels is 12% of the statewide average rack price of a gallon of motor fuel. This rule defines the statewide average rack price of a gallon of motor fuel as the average of the Salt Lake City and Cedar City terminal prices of the average daily average net closing price of a gallon of branded regular 10% ethanol 9.0 reed vapor pressure unleaded motor fuel for each terminal. On August 18, 2015, the legislature's Executive Appropriations Committee approved a motion requesting that the Tax Commission proceed with this proposed rule as drafted.
Thank you, Commissioner. To the discussion on this particular proposed amendment, are there any discussion items on it? Seeing none, I'll turn to Commissioner Rockwell for a motion on this proposed rule.
Thank you. I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R865-13G18, definition of statewide average rack price of a gallon of motor fuel.
Motion's in order. Debate on the motion? Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule the motion passes unanimously. The rule is adopted. Commissioner Rockwell for the next item.
Thank you. The second rule is R877-23V7, misleading advertising. There are two rules that amend the same administrative rule, so we will reference this as Amendment A. The rule is amended to provide more specific guidance for motor vehicle advertisements. Section 413210 of the Utah Code prohibits a licensee from intentionally publishing, displaying, or circulating any advertisement that is misleading in any material fact. The proposed amendment indicates how, in a motor vehicle advertisement, the disclosure that a vehicle has a salvage certificate or branded title shall be made. The rule proposal arises from an issue and an appeal. Both parties ask that the commissioners give further clarification, and the proposed rule amendment will accomplish that.
Thank you. Any discussion items on this particular proposed rule? Seeing none, I'll go back to Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
Thank you. I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R877-23V7, Misleading Advertisement, Amendment A.
Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Rule it also passes unanimously. Commissioner Rockwell for the next rule.
The third rule is R877-23V7, Misleading Advertising. This is Amendment B. The rule is amended to provide more specific guidance for motor vehicle advertisements. The proposed amendment provides that in a verbal advertisement of a motor vehicle, the speed of the words spoken must be constant throughout the advertisement. The purpose of the rule is to prevent fast talking, in which material facts are disclosed at a rapid voice speed that may be difficult to understand.
Thank you for that clarification. To the proposed rule, discussion.
Question.
Yes, please. Commissioner Cragen.
How does the language of the rule prevent fast talking? Isn't it possible that a dealer could do a 30-second spot and do it all at a constant, rapid speed and thus defeat the purpose of the or the intention of the change?
Commissioner Rockwell, would you like to respond?
I'm happy to respond to that. I think that the rule would not prohibit that, that it may defeat the advertising benefit because the advertisement would then be difficult for an individual to understand given the rapidity of the speech. I don't know if anyone from MVD would like to respond as well.
Is there anyone from MVD that would like to respond to Commissioner Cragen's question? Come up to the microphone, please, and then state your name on the record. We know who you are, Kent, but yeah. I need to have that on the record.
Kent Jorgensen, Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division. We have discussed that, and we felt that that would be a possibility, that you could run the whole ad in fast talk, but we don't think that they would do that. Because if you listen to the fast talk ads, you can't understand anything. And so you'd be paying for an ad on television, and that's usually where they're at, that nobody would be able to understand.
I can tell you, as I drive around and listen to the radio and hear those fast talk segments at the end of the car commercials, as a person who's had a significant amount of experience in the law over the years, I have to listen very carefully, and even then I miss items. And so when I hear the same commercial again, I'll listen to see the items that I've missed. And it's almost a challenge just to be able to hear what they're saying, that they've talking about it's to qualify buyers only, that this price is not available to the general market, that it's includes a interest rate of 12.9% if you finance through them, and they have all these different other disclaimers that are very difficult to hear. I can imagine hearing a whole commercial that way and not being able to find it intelligible at all. But
it really seems like people would lose the benefit of their advertising dollar if they chose to do the whole thing in fast talk.
Thank you.
No further questions?
No.
Any further items on this matter before I turn for a motion? I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion on this proposed rule.
Thank you. I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R877-23V7, Misleading Advertisement, which is Amendment B.
Thank you. Motion's in order. See no debate on the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda, Commissioner Rockwell for further amendments to rules.
Thank you. We'll move on to Rule 4, which is R877-23V20, reasonable cause to deny, suspend, or revoke a license issued under Title 41, Chapter 3. The rule is amended to provide more specific guidance on reasonable cause to deny, suspend, or revoke a license issued under Title 41, Chapter 3. The proposed amendment clarifies that the list of violations of state or federal law that constitute reasonable cause to deny, suspend, or revoke a license issued under Title 41, Chapter 3 is an inclusive and not an exclusive list.
Thank you, Commissioner. Questions on this particular proposed rule? I see none. Back to Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R877-23V20, reasonable cause to deny, suspend, or revoke a license issued under Title 41, Chapter 3.
Thank you. Motion's in order. I see no debate on the motion. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Rule, it passes unanimously. Next item is item number 5, Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. The fifth item is R884-24P33. These are the 26 personal property valuation guides and schedules. The valuation guides and schedules contained in this rule are reviewed and updated annually by the Property Tax Division. The personal property guides and schedules are used for local property tax valuation and assessment of business personal property and certain motor vehicles by county assessors. Section 59.2.107 of the Utah Code authorizes the State Tax Commission to make rules that define classes of items considered to be personal property and provide valuation percent good schedules to value locally assessed personal property. County assessors must use the percent good schedules as contained in this rule. Any deviation that affects an entire class or type of personal property requires a written report documenting the schedule change to be submitted to the Tax Commission for approval prior to use. This year, the changes to the percent good schedules also included the following changes to the personal property classes. First, changes to Class 3, point of sale equipment. Point of sale equipment was moved from Class 3 to Class 12, which is computer equipment, in 2014. Large retailers provided information that point of sale equipment is now computers. The point-of-sale equipment is linked to a computer mainframe. When a sale occurs, the computer notes the sale, automatically takes it from inventory, and tracks the inventory at each location, and ships items or goods when the inventory reaches a certain level. Computers are already included in Class 12. Class 16, solar panels and supporting equipment. In 2012, the tax commissioners ordered solar panels and the equipment that supports the solar panels to be listed as personal property. It was immediately listed in the classification guide online, and the counties were sent a notice. The rule change places the commission decision into rule. The final change is to Class 16, underground fiber optic cable. In 2015, the Tax Commission reached a stipulation that underground fiber optic cable should be moved from Class 8 to Class 16.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Rockwell. Questions or discussion on this proposed rule change? I see none.
I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R884-24P33, 2016 Personal Property Valuation Guides and Schedules.
Motion's in order. To the motion, debate? I see no debate. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule, it passes unanimously. Next item is item number 6 on the proposed rules. Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. The final rule is R884-24P66, County Board of Equalization, Procedures, and Appeals. The proposed amendment deletes an unnecessary step in the process a county goes through in approving its Board of Equalization rules by deleting language requiring the Tax Commission to approve local Board of Equalization rules and procedures.
Thank you. Questions regarding this proposed rule? See none. Back to Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R884-24P66, County Board of Equalization Procedures and Appeals.
Thank you. Motion's in order. To the motion? See no debate. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. That completes the proposed items on the proposed rules. Next item on the agenda is internal audit report, and we'll turn the time over to Commissioner Pirro, who is the supervisor of the internal audit unit in the office of the commission.
Thank you, Mr. Pirro. Chairman. We have two audits performed by the internal audit unit of the tax commission up for acceptance today. They are one concerning outside collection agencies, and the other one is for uninsured motorist identification database. I'm going to ask Aman Kudia, who is the supervisor of that unit, to come up and make the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Kudia. You may proceed.
Good morning, everybody. Aman Kudia, excuse me, Director, Internal Audit Unit, Utah State Tax Commission. The audits, we have 2015-1 and 2015-2. 2015-1 is about the performance review of the outside collection agencies. We got only one outside collection agency right now, which the Taxpayer Service Division uses it. And in our audit, we found that Taxpayer Services Division needs some additional staff or some additional resources to increase their collection efforts. They're doing a good job, but because of the shortage of funds, they cannot even expand it. Any questions about that audit report?
Questions by the commission on proposed on the on internal audit report number 2015-1. See no questions?
Thank you. The next audit is the audit of uninsured motorist identification database, UMID program, number 2015-2. This audit is performed every 3 years, and it is performed by the Utah State Tax Commission Internal Audit Unit for Department of Public Safety. It is required by law that the Internal Audit Unit of the Tax Commission perform this audit. We found everything is in order. The third-party private company, InsureRight, is doing a good job in monitoring the uninsured motorists and following the guidelines and the rules. Any questions about this audit?
Thank you. Is there questions on this audit? I see none. A motion would be in order. Recognize Commissioner Pirro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move acceptance of these two audits. The first one being outside collection agencies. It's report number 2015-1. And the next one is the uninsured motorist identification database. That is report number 2015-02.
I'd like you to add to that motion also a thank you of our internal auditor for the fine work.
I was going to get to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commission.
Thank you. Any debate on the motion? I see none. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule passes unanimously. The audits are accepted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. the motion that we passed earlier on the minutes was for the October 8th, 2015. If I stated 2014 on the record, I was in error. It is 2015. Oh, my goodness. Living in the past.
Must have been a good year.
That was a year I was president of the Senate, so yeah, it was a good year. Next item on the agenda is the Executive Director's Report, and I'll turn the time over to our Executive Director, Barry Conover.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's always good to be here with you in these meetings with the Commission. I want to also thank Amon for the good work that he and his staff do for putting together internal audits. It helps us from the administrative side to make sure that we're following the statutes, the rules, and that we are in compliance. It also helps our employees to understand that every action they take has a consequence. And I think that's a good thing to have out there that we need to always have before us since we are public servants. I just want to update you on a couple of items that we mentioned in our last minute or in last meeting. First of all, the VoIP project, which is our new telephone system. The cutover is this weekend. When you all come back to work on Monday, to the exclusion of Commissioner Perot, who will not be here, but he will come back someday and he'll have that opportunity to punch into his new VoIP telephone that he so wanted to have from the get-go. That'll be coming online Monday morning, and we have had an awfully lot of work that had to be accomplished in a relatively short period of time, running from cabling to acquisition of telephones to acquisition of call center software, and it takes a lot of employees to do a lot of testing. And Mr. Chairman and fellow commissioners, the success of this project is remarkable, and I am so grateful for the good work that the staff has done. Also, our partners with DTS, the phone ops group has been wonderful. Even Einan, with all of its challenges that we're dealing with, that's the call center software, they've tried to comply, but they live in a different world sometimes. But this will be a successful rollout on time again and on budget. Just wanted to give you an update on that. The second item is that this month has been cybersecurity month. The governor made that declaration. We, as an agency, has done that. Our security management team has been actively engaged this month in sending out newsletters, surveys, awareness training, brown bags, all those things that will make sure that our employees understand the importance of cybersecurity. And I want to give you just an update. Yesterday, there was a phishing virus that hit the state. And we had several of those hit some of our employees' emails as well. And each one of those employees immediately contacted security. They did the proper thing, deleted the message, and we then notified DTS of that phishing experience. So our training is bearing fruit, and that is so good to have. Finally, we are an agency that is moving further into our automation. We'll be rolling out our rollout 11 in Gen Tax with property tax on November the 7th, and that's on time, on budget as well. It'll be integrated into our revenue tax sections within Gen Tax, and just for an update, we'll start rollout version 10 update in Gen Tax this next year, 2016, for our revenue side, and then in 2017 we'll have a major upgrade in Vaders, our motor vehicle side, and that'll probably be about a 9-month project. So we've got a lot of activity going on. We're meeting the needs of the public, and we also appreciate the fine work that you commissioners do, particularly as you deal with the issues on the Hill and elsewhere. That's my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I can tell you, from a person who's had to consume technology services in the private sector for quite some time, you're never done. And I'm glad to see that we're constantly staying ahead of the curve, because some of our sister states, as we attend national conventions, bemoan the fact that they are still on XP systems in the IRS, and that they are still on systems that have huge vulnerabilities that we do not have. And by doing what we're doing, we have preserved the resources of the state of Utah. And I have to thank not only the executive director and the commission, but our legislature for making certain that the funds are available to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's absolutely true.
For the comments on the executive director's report. Seeing none, we'll go on to the next item on the agenda, commissioner's reports. Anyone of the commissioners that have a report that they wish to have? I have one, however, it is involving litigation, and the litigation is against the tax commission, and so I would ask that we go to an executive session, and I need a motion to do that under the provisions of the Utah Administrative Procedures Act. An executive session may be called as part of the commissioner's reports, and we will then terminate the recording of the open meeting and then restart the recording of the closed session, and we will have to clear the room for the litigation section for the discussion. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we meet in a closed meeting to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation, and that we adjourn from the closed session.
Thank you. Motion's on order. Debate on the motion. Seeing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. This closes the public portion of our meeting. We'll go to executive section next.